With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. Members of South Dakota's congressional delegation are condemning political violence after the shooting death of conservative political commentator Charlie Kirk during a campus event in Utah yesterday. In a post on X, Senate Majority Leader John Thune writes, quote, "There is no place for political violence in our country, full stop." Congressman Dusty Johnson, writing on Facebook, also condemned political violence in America. On X, Senator Mike Rounds writes that he is praying for Charlie Kirk. State Democratic Party Chair Shane Merrill also condemned political violence in a press release. Kirk was shot in the neck and killed during a speaking engagement at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. No suspects are in custody. A person of interest detained yesterday was released after questioning. For the first time in 12 years, South Dakota Democrats are fielding multiple candidates for the state's only seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Former USDA Rural Development Director Nikki Gronley formally announced her campaign in Sioux Falls yesterday. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
Gronley's announcement comes months after she participated in several town halls organized by the South Dakota Democratic Party around the state. Those sessions were part of the party's response to a lack of town hall participation by South Dakota's current congressional delegation.
South Dakota deserves a representative who will keep hosting town halls for years to come. And invites you all to the table.
Gronley previously served as the state's rural development director during the Biden administration. During that time, she oversaw various infrastructure and community initiatives on behalf of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She's also a former vice chair of the South Dakota Democratic Party. In late August, fellow Democrat and executive director of the South Dakota After School Network, Billy Mawinney, also announced his candidacy. Current Attorney General Marty Jackley is running for Congress as a Republican. Republican State Senator Casey Crabtree has filed campaign paperwork but has not officially announced his candidacy. Gronley addressed the likelihood of multiple primaries for the seat during her remarks.
On the other side of the aisle, you're going to see a fight. That fight is going to be about who more closely aligns with the very policies Washington is using to harm South Dakota. Policies that harm our top industries, our workers, and our people. On this side of the aisle, you're going to see issues elevated, and I guarantee good conversations about how we best solve them.
Gronley says those issues include affordable childcare, grocery prices, Social Security, and access to rural health care. The primary election is scheduled for June 2, 2026. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls.
With formalized plans announced for the embattled state men's prison project, multiple factions of the state Republican Party have voiced their opinions on the matter. Attorney General Marty Jackley and the state's Police Chiefs Association have voiced their support for the proposal. In a statement, Jackley describes the current facility as, quote, outdated, and that the new facility addresses overcrowding and provides a safer environment for staff and inmates. In turn, the Freedom Caucus, a group of conservative Republican lawmakers, oppose the plans as they stand. In a release, the group predicts a recession and says the state cannot afford a $650 million facility. The cost of a new prison has become a point of contention among lawmakers in recent years. The new plan is the subject of an upcoming special legislative session later this month. After a process dubbed recalibration by the mayor, Sioux Falls has approved a $775 million budget to contend with lower-than-expected revenues. Despite the cuts, some concessions were made during the debate process. SDPB's CJ Keene has the details.
The process began with Mayor Paul Tenhaken's initial proposal in July and started with the idea of lower revenues and tax receipts in mind. Those cuts would come from a wide range of city services across Sioux Falls. Ultimately, the final budget saw near unanimous support on the final vote. During the city council meeting, Sioux Falls Finance Director Sean Pritchett says it was a battle.
At times it has had challenging conversations, but I think those have been good, ensuring that we remain strong as a city moving forward. And while the focus has been on recalibration, I don't think we should forget that this budget proposal continues to invest in many great things for our community.
Some of those investments came during the debate and amendment process, namely avoiding cuts on public pools and library services. Northeast District Councilwoman Miranda Basie argues library hours can't be sacrificed.
We have a lot of folks that are accessing the libraries in the evenings, and we even talk about the Brandon Library that's part of our Siouxland Libraries that's out and affects the county. And as we talk about the primary city services and what literacy and access to education materials do for the future, we'd just love to make sure that that is accessible to our community.
Both these minor adjustments were passed and had little impact on the final vote of the council, which handily passed the complete budget package. At the same time, Rapid City is also planning for a reduction in budget. That hearing is scheduled for September 15th. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
The South Dakota Soybean Processors opened a new processing plant in Mitchell earlier this week. Officials say the construction of the High Plains Processing Plant is the largest egg project in state history. The $500 million facility is capable of processing 35 million bushels of soybeans per year. The grand opening took place this week in front of nearly 1,000 guests, including Governor Larry Roden, Commissioner Bill Even from the Governor's Office of Economic Development, and DANR Secretary Hunter Roberts. Officials say the facility is expected to create about 85 full-time jobs in the Mitchell area. A Sioux Falls Addiction Center is set to receive a $250,000 donation to support the battle against addiction and mental illness. The Link Community Triage Center will receive a $50,000 gift from the Greg and Pam Sands Foundation for each of the next 5 years. The gift is the largest single donation to the facility since it opened in 2021. The facility is operated in collaboration with the City of Sioux Falls, Minnehaha County, as well as Sanford and Avera Health. It offers access to medical care, withdrawal management, and other behavioral health services. As addiction rates remain a concern across both the state and country, data from the Link found that the facility has seen over 15,000 triages for patients seeking help since its inception. Almost 70% of those seeking help identify as unhoused. More than 2,000 of those patients received treatment just this year. In celebration of the 100th birthday of American Legion Baseball, SDPB Sports Team has produced a new special, Tales from the Diamond. In this week's In Play, SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera preview the program, starting with its roots in Milbank's history.
And welcome to another Your Morning In Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined by Jason Andera. One thing we want to talk about this week is some of the stories that we were able to tell for the show Tales from the Diamond, which airs Thursday, September 11th, 8:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 Mountain on SDPB TV. Jason, you and I had the opportunity to work on that together, and man, it was kind of a fun show to put together. I know you jumped in and...
I just started, so I didn't know what we had going on here, and this is a pretty intense little production that you got going on here, Nate. And first of all, we've done Tales of the Gridiron and Tales from the
Hardwood.
Is this the first Tales from the Diamond?
This is the first Tales from the Diamond. It kind of just came together off of the idea that we knew it was the 100th birthday, I should say, of American Legion Baseball.
Yes,
and Milbank being the birthplace of American Legion Baseball, they were holding a big centennial event up there. It just kind of made sense that SDPB would be at that event. And then, you know, we started getting messages from Beersford. We started getting messages from Castlewood about potential other baseball stories, and the show just kind of evolved from there and turned into this.
Let's just make it Tales of the... And it's cool because we include softball. You said the main part of the show really is Milbank, and that is a pretty amazing story. What did you learn about just how American Legion Baseball not only came about, but is sustained for so long in South Dakota?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people might at least have heard that Milbank, South Dakota is the birthplace of American Legion Baseball. There was a chunk of years there where, yes, Milbank was always proud that they were the birthplace, but it wasn't like they were, you know, they had a sign when you drive into town, but it wasn't like they were, you know, preaching from their deck saying, we're the birthplace of American Legion Baseball and stuff like that. Well, now they built a brand new ballpark, and there's a big banner on the side of it that goes all the way from down the first baseline all the way to the outfield. And I think that part's really cool. You know, they're all of the advancements to their facilities and stuff that they're doing in Milbank with baseball is an expansion on that history and the legacy, which I think is something that's really special. And I give massive props to what Pat Rafferty, the mayor up there, has done. Ron Krause has been, three decades plus worth of the American Legion manager up there. So, you know, you've got some guys that have been around it and they understand it. And when you're trying to do big projects, you need those people that completely understand the vision, if that makes sense.
Well, it definitely makes sense. And I think that's something South Dakota can be proud of, and as well as obviously Milbank, and they've done a great job to celebrate that. And I can't wait to present that to our audience, because it's really well done.
And there's, you know, there's three other stories that are also great that are a part of this. We've got, you know, we mentioned softball. We had the opportunity this June at the Class A girls softball tournament in Aberdeen to highlight the Halverson sisters. One of them, Sienna, and, you know, there's Sienna and Riley. One of them played for Madison. One of them played for Del Rapids. One of them played for Tri-Valley. Both were catchers. You know, so that was kind of a fun thing. We got to talk to mom, and she kind of made the, you'll see it in the story too, but she made a thing and says, yeah, I kind of started watching what Travis and Jason Kelsey's mom was doing on how you support two kids at once. So she kind of has this fun t-shirt that's got both of her kids' names on it and stuff like that. So that was a good one. Jack Lawrence Field in Beresford's another one of the stories about a young man who tragically passed away at the age of 11. And that was about 11 years ago. It was 2014 when he passed away in a car accident. So there's a field in Beresford called Jack Lawrence Field. So that's one of the stories. And then Jandy, you were producer of one of the stories as well,
yeah,
from Castlewood.
Yeah, I just came on board here at SDPB, you know, a month and a half ago or so, and that was the first story I got to do, and it was a great one to get to know, because Jeff Sicking up there, everybody knows him by the service that he does at the field, but there's a lot more to know about this guy, and he's faced several challenges, which we'll get into in the story, and he always finds a way to look at the bright side, and that's just fun to see people like that around us.
It'll be a fun program. Check it out tonight, Thursday, September 11th, 8:30 p.m., 7:30 Mountain on SDPB. Don't forget, set those DVRs. Tales from the Diamond.
The city of Watertown officially opens the doors of the new city hall to the public. Officials hope the improvements will ripple throughout the community. It replaces a building city leaders say has, quote, numerous deficiencies, including ADA limitations, plumbing, and electrical issues. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
The project has been 5 years in the making, but discussions of building a new city hall date even before then. Kyle Peters is the deputy mayor. In a ribbon cutting, he says when he came to the area 5 years ago, he saw the old city hall and didn't feel like it fit the city.
Now I'm looking at it, I'm like, that is not a good representation of what Watertown is. We've got beautiful buildings downtown, we've got a lot going for us. We can do better than this.
In 2021, Watertown officially purchased a Wells Fargo building with the intent to build a new city hall. Peter says that gave the city advantages over other options.
We own the building, so we could really cut down the timeline of getting something done.
Construction wrapped up this May, and employees began working in the new building in June. Alan Steger is the Watertown city manager. He says what a city hall looks like is important.
In this building, our public brings us their greatest challenges and dreams, and we help make them happen.
He calls it an upgrade for both the city employees and residents.
And in our prior building behind us, it was tough to collaborate. It was tough to see where other departments were and what they were doing and who was out in the field looking at a project or who was in the office or in a conference. But this building is designed and laid out for collaboration. We have offices around the perimeter of the building. We have conference rooms in every corner, and the center of the building is filled with the team that makes things happen for all of you.
City Hall includes a new main building and City Council chambers. Construction manager Huff Construction also renovated the drive-up area of Wells Fargo into a garage to park city vehicles. The city spent a little over $4 million on renovation costs. With furniture, signage, and IT equipment, the total is projected over $5.3 million and is paid for with money from Watertown's Capital Improvement Fund. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service is accepting applications for conservation assistance in the Glacial Lakes region. The Regional Conservation Partnership Program facilitates contracts or easement agreements between federal partners and local producers. The Glacial Lakes Project is focused on lakes and streams in Day, Dual, Grant, Marshall, and Roberts counties. The goal is improving water quality and addressing concerns like erosion, wildlife habitat, livestock production limitations, and more. A release from the federal agency encourages landowners and agriculture producers to contact their local USDA service center to apply. The review date for fiscal year 2025 is October 10th, but applications are accepted year-round. I'm STPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out STPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.